We're in Ruth chapter number 2 as we return to the story today. Chapter number 17, or verse 17 of chapter 2 is where I want us to kick off. Ruth had spent her first full day of gleaning in the fields of Boaz. And Boaz had become a protector to her. He had heard about how she had returned with her mother-in-law Naomi and was very devoted to her. And so when he discovered that she was the new face in his field, he made sure that she felt welcome. In fact, he made sure that his employees pulled out bits of the wheat stalk or the barley stalks and maybe even dropped a little mini sheaves so that she could pick it up and take it home with her. And I theorized with you that perhaps his employees thought that was rather cute, that their employer was being so outgoing on behalf of this foreign woman. So this is how we finished last time. She gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she gleaned, because you have to process it at the end of the day if you're going to use any of it. And it was about an ephah of barley. An ephah is about 22 liters, dry measure. So I told you to think about 11 2-liter pop bottles full of this processed barley grain. That is a lot in one day. So she took it up. She went into the city. That's where she and her mother-in-law are living. Her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. So she looks at this and is shocked how much she was able to pick up that day. And then Ruth also brought out and gave her what food she had left over after being satisfied. Remember, Boaz invited her to enjoy lunch with him, gave her food to eat, and she had leftovers at the end of the lunch. And so she took those home and is handing them off to Naomi. Now, her mother-in-law is shocked. She has been depressed. Remember when she came back, she's like, "Don't call me pleasant. Don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara. Call me bitter, because God has treated me in a bitter fashion. Took my family farm through the drought, took my husband through his death, took my two boys through their deaths. So I've got nothing." And so she's been very depressed, but then suddenly this happens. Things are out of kilter. Her daughter-in-law brought back tons more than she should have. "Where did you glean today? Where have you worked? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." And so she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, "The man's name with whom I work today is Boaz." Now that, I told you as we closed up last time, is where Naomi's whole attitude begins to change. Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "Well, may he be blessed by he who is, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead." Naomi also said to her, "The man is a close relative of ours, one of our redeemers." Now, the redeemer idea here, the goel, is the close, unspoken for male relative that can practice levirate marriage and continue the line that is in jeopardy because of the deaths of first Elimelech and then his two boys with Naomi while they were over in Moab. So Naomi is fully aware who Boaz is. She knows he's probably like a cousin to her late husband. Now, typically, she would be the one that Boaz would marry. Naomi, I'm talking about. Because she is the widow of the man who was the head of the family that had no children left. But as I've told you, I believe Naomi is past the ability of having children. So under that standard, it would be her son's remaining widow that would be the wife that this Redeemer would marry. And so suddenly, there's light at the end of the tunnel for Naomi. And she starts thanking God for this. So that was the comment here. God is the one whose kindness has not been forsaken to the living or the dead. So Ruth says back to Naomi, besides, he also said to me, you shall keep close by my young men until they've finished all my harvest. So she was invited specifically by Boaz to work with his professional harvesters, the people that work with him, for him, as they make their way first through all the barley fields that he owns. And then after that, after Pentecost arrives, because Pentecost is the official beginning of the wheat harvest, they will then start going through all of Boaz's wheat fields. And this is going to take a while. And the intention of Boaz was basically wanting to see Ruth on a regular basis. So Naomi said back to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, oh, it's good, my daughter, that you go out with her, his young women, lest in another field you be assaulted. So she realizes that for some people, foreigners are just a target for abuse, a target to be taken advantage of. But if you've got a man like Boaz, who is an honorable man, an honest man, and a man who has already indicated his desire to protect Ruth throughout the next couple of months of the harvest time in her gleaning, then yes, she ought to stay with Boaz. So verse 23 skips over the next several weeks, couple of months. As I said, the barley harvest begins with the first fruits ceremony that always happens on the first day of the week following the Sabbath that falls during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So that's at the beginning of the Jewish year. The last part of the second month is the barley harvest. That continues into the second month. So that's a good 6 weeks right there of barley harvest. And we know that Ruth and Naomi arrived at Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest. So at a minimum, Ruth is going to spend about 6 weeks of barley harvest working with and for Boaz. But then, the 50th day after the Feast of First Fruits, that's the day of Pentecost. And that marks the beginning of the wheat harvest. And that takes place throughout the third month and then into part of the fifth month. So, effectively, they are going to spend about 3 months working together. She kept close to the young women of Boaz, gleaning until the end of the barley harvest and wheat harvest. And she lived with her mother-in-law. And so you have to picture this in your mind. You have to flesh out the story here. 6 days a week, from sunrise to sunset, Ruth is going out and she's gleaning behind the workers of Boaz. And I think we can assume safely that Boaz is going to come out there every single day and spend lunchtime with her. And then he may even want to spend some supper time with her. But he is going to be spending a lot of time with her for a good 3 months. And they become friends. They become well acquainted with one another. Now, I believe that he is older than her. Probably, if I were going to put age on him, I'd say he's probably in his 40s, while she's probably in her 20s. And they develop a relationship. And Naomi is well aware of this. Naomi is getting a regular report on this. She probably has interaction with Boaz herself. They may spend Sabbath days together worshiping. But at the end of that time period, as the harvest period is starting to come to a close, I believe that Naomi decides that she has to take this matter into her own hands because it's not progressing the way she thought it should, which was basically this. Boaz should have proposed to Ruth. He should have approached Naomi as the mother-in-law figure for Ruth, and made arrangements to get married and to redeem the family property of the late Elimelech and his two boys. But Boaz hasn't done that. Why? We don't know. It kind of goes into that same thing that I mentioned at the beginning of the story, is that Boaz doesn't seem to be married ever as this story begins. He seems to be one of those guys that even though he is a good guy, a nice guy, an honorable man, a man that is very spiritually tied in with God, he just never marries. And so there may be a shyness factor. Maybe there is a, I just don't know how I would do in that, and a fear of taking on that sort of responsibility. But whatever the reason is, Naomi decides, okay, enough of this nonsense. I guess she, Ruth, is going to have to do the proposal. So chapter 3, verse 1. Whenever I teach this story, I always like to make sure everybody understands we're not talking only about a few days between chapter 2's end and the beginning of chapter 3. We're talking about several months. So Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, should I not seek rest for you that it may be well with you? So shouldn't I do what's best for you? Is not Boaz our relative with whose young women you are? So isn't he our cousin? See, he's winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor." So it's likely, I think, that for Boaz's purposes, he stores up a lot of the sheaves of barley and wheat until he's kind of winding down the harvest season of both grain types. And then he starts processing it in large amounts. Now, the way that you process the grain is you would thresh it first. That is, you'd have it broken apart from the chaff by having threshing sledges run over it and all of that. But now you have to separate the wheat from the chaff or the barley from the chaff by throwing up this mixture into the air and letting the prevailing wind blow it off to the side. The chaff goes off to the side, and the heavier kernels of grain fall straight down. So that's what's happening right now in Boaz's life. He is personally and as a supervisor processing all of his barley. So he spends a lot of time at the threshing floor. Verse number three. Naomi tells Ruth, I want you to wash yourself, therefore. Anoint yourself. Put on oil. More than likely, it's a fragrant oil. She's making herself pretty. She's making herself special in sight and smell. So do all of that, then put on your cloak, and you go down to the threshing floor tonight. Now, this is after she's worked all day. So she's going to go back down there tonight. Don't make yourself known to the man until he's finished eating and drinking. So wait until he's had his supper. When he lies down, observe the place where he lies. Now, he is, unsurprisingly, just spending his nights at the processing center. Grain, processed grain, is very precious. It is valuable. And so this is a time when it can be stolen. We've been talking about how the Midianites recently, they were one of the groups that would wait until the Israelis had processed their grain and then sweep in large parties and just steal it, take it. And so same thing would happen on a smaller scale locally, is that people that wanted free grain might show up down at these big piles and just start getting big buckets full, big bags full of the processed grain for free. And so security is being taken care of by Boaz, by him and some of his guys just sleeping at the threshing floor. So Ruth is supposed to pay attention to where Boaz lays down to sleep. Naomi continues, then go over, uncover his feet. Now he'll be sleeping with his outer cloak as a blanket. The outer clothing was always required by Jewish law, the Mosaic Code, to have those little tassels, those little prominent twined purple markers to show that the person was connected to the covenant. So that special outer cloak, she was supposed to kind of fold back and then lie down right there at his feet. And Naomi says, he will then tell you what to do. Now we'll find out in a little bit that Naomi also coaches Ruth what she is supposed to say at this point. So Ruth replied, all you say, I shall do. So she went down to the threshing floor, and she did just as her mother-in-law had commanded. When Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain. So then she came softly, because he's asleep, and she uncovered his feet and then lay down there. At midnight, so later in the dark, the man was startled and he turned over. And behold, a woman lay at his feet. So here it is, middle of the night. He wakes up. He's surprised by something. Maybe she moved and bumped up against his feet or whatever it was. And he turns around in the darkness of the place. And remember, they don't have electric lights. They don't have flashlights and things like that. They have torches. They have campfires. But in the middle of the night, all of that stuff has kind of gone down. So it is pitch black other than the stars in the sky. Maybe a moon. So he turns around and he looks and there's a woman laying at his feet. Now, how does he know it's a woman? Probably the smell. more than likely, he smells her perfumed olive oil that she anointed herself with. It's different than what the guys wear as their olive oil. And so he says, "Who are you?" And she answered, "I'm your servant, Ruth." And then she says the thing that I believe Naomi coached her with. And this is something that I already talked about at length earlier, and I'm going to do it again. She said, "Spread your wings over your servant, for you are a redeemer." Now, the wings of God were mentioned when they first met, because God is seen as this mother bird protecting her chicks. That's imagery that's well understood amongst the Israeli. And Boaz wished that for Ruth, that God would spread his wings over her in protection. But in the levirate marriage ceremony, the redeemer, that is the closest unmarried, unbetrothed relative of the late husband, would take the corner of his outer robe, the one that's marked with the little tassels, the little special prominences of the covenant, and he would fling that around the widow. And that was his wings. The corners of the clothing was referred to as the wings. So it was throwing his protection around her. It was, in fact, him saying, "I want to marry you." And so what Ruth is effectively saying here is, "I want you to marry me, Boaz. I want you to redeem my family tree, my family line." And that is her right as the widow of Naomi's son. And so he is surprised by this, but I think we can safely say it is a pleasant surprise. He said to her, "Oh, may you be blessed by he who is my daughter." Now that "my daughter" thing, I've explained before, that sounds very much like he is older than her. He's like at least in the half generation above her, maybe, you know, 20 years older than her. And so he says, this last kindness is greater than the first, in that you have not gone after young men, whether poor or rich. So the fact that she's been spending time with him, treating him as a friend, as somebody that they eat together, they laugh together, they share stories together whenever it's siesta time, lunchtime, the last several months. That was the first kindness. That he felt attached to her. This last kindness, this secondary kindness, is the fact that she did not want to get married to any of these younger guys that are her own age. Some of them might be pretty wealthy. She wants to marry Boaz. And like I said, I think that surprises him, but it is a happy surprise. And so he says in verse 11, "Now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you ask, for all my fellow townsmen know that you are a worthy woman." He praises her. "You are a special lady, and everybody around here knows that." And he says then, "It's true that I am a potential redeemer. However, There is a Redeemer nearer than I. Now, I want you to think about that. He didn't have to go and check. He knew already that there was one other person that was closer in relation to Naomi, and therefore to Naomi's son that Ruth was married to, than himself. Which means he's been thinking, man, wouldn't it be nice to be married to this young woman? But there's a guy that's unattached, closer in age to her. He's the one that has the right to get married to her. And so now that she has expressed the desire to be married to him, he decides he's going to take care of this. So he says, remain here tonight. In the morning, if he will redeem you, then good. That's fine. That's the way it's supposed to work. Let him do it. But if he's not willing to redeem you, then as he who lives, lives, I will redeem you. Lie down until the morning. So he basically says, I swear before God, I will marry you. Unless this other guy marries you first. And so, she lay down at his feet until morning. No hanky-panky, no sorts of inappropriate behavior described here. They arose before one could recognize another, and he said, let it not be known that the woman came to the threshing floor. So he wants to keep this kind of quiet. He said, bring the garment that you're wearing and hold it out. So she held it out, and he measured out 6 measures of barley and put it on her. And then she went into the city. Now, why is he doing this? It is his way of kind of communicating to her and to her mother-in-law, to Naomi, I am on this, and it matters to me. So he gives a really big bunch of grain, free, to this family as kind of a down payment of what he plans to do later in this day.